Caroline, how are you today? Everybody all right? It's good to be with you. It feels like it's been a few weeks since I've been with you. Last week I intended to be with you. Pastor Bob was still on the docket to preach, but I was going to come over and be Pastor Ryan here with you. On Saturday, I completely lost my voice. Was feeling fine, totally good, no voice. Don't know what happened. Got it back shortly thereafter. I think I'm good today. We'll see how it goes. But it's really great to be with you, and I'm just loving this time that I get to share with you in this season. It's a different season, pastoral transition, but we're all doing okay, right? We're hanging in there. The Lord is faithful. He's already stirring on the hearts of someone to be the next leader for this church, and we're grateful for that. I just want to give a shout out to our staff. So thankful for those guys, and none of them are here because they're working, right? But you can clap for them. That's absolutely. They're doing a lot of work, and thankfully they have experience with HVAC, and they can run air conditioning and heating and things like that. So I missed that class in seminary, but they got it somehow. And I want to take a moment of personal privilege and give a shout out to my father, Pastor Bob. He's really doing the heavy lifting in this thing, and attending meetings and leading our staff and taking on probably more than he bargained for in a co-pastorate since I'm over in Lenexa. But he's just stepped right in and done it so graciously. So love you, Dad. Thank you for your ministry among us. And thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for welcoming us. Pastor Bob and I feel very welcomed. We feel very loved by you. And it really is our privilege to be a part of the Fairlawn family in these days. So if you have your Bible, you can open to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Exodus is kind of a big book. We're in about the middle of the book of Exodus, and it's actually the second book in the Bible. So if you start in the very front of your Bible and you begin with Genesis, Exodus is the next book. And it's in the middle of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. While you're finding your place there, you can just keep turning there. If you were here last week, you know that Pastor Bob kicked off our new sermon series entitled Desert Wanderings. And in this series, we're looking into the classic story of Moses and how he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. That's a familiar story to many of us. Last week, we found Moses tending sheep for his father-in-law. That was quite a career change from his life as the Prince of Egypt, right? You ever see that movie, Prince of Egypt? It's a good one. I think it's a good one. It's like 20 years old now. I imagine that it has aged well. I bet it's a good movie, so you could watch that at some point. But God called out to Moses through a burning bush, as you remember, sent him to Pharaoh as God's ambassador to free the Hebrews from Egyptian slavery. And reluctantly, Moses went. Herding sheep seemed like much less of a hassle to him than this would be. But in the end, Moses obeyed God, and God did the rest, just like God said he would do. God gave Moses this promise found in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And with God's help, Moses did bring all 1 million plus of the Hebrews out of Egypt. Now they're on their way to the mountain, Mount Sinai, as you remember, the mountain of God, to worship God just as God said they would. God always keeps his word, so they're on their way. They left the plush, abundant land of Egypt, and now they're in the desert, which is easy for us to imagine with all that snowfall out there, right? Just imagine this desert oasis, really not an oasis, but they're going to get to an oasis in our passage today. One of the great lessons of this classic story is that sometimes we have to go through the desert to get to the mountain of God. That's what Moses and the people of God do. And so here we are in our scripture passage for today at their next stop in their desert wanderings. If you want to follow along one more time, we're reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Everybody there? You ready? Okay. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, or in ancient Hebrew might pronounce it as Marah, but my North Topeka self was going to go with Marah. We'll go with Marah today, all right? They could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why they called the place Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, if Pastor Bob were preaching today, he's not, I am, but if he were preaching, he might tell you a story about his grandson Eli. Eli's my nephew. For those of us in the house here who know our family, and many of you do, Eli is Robbie's older son. He's third in line. Robbie's my brother. He's my older brother. He's by 1 year. I'm better looking, but he's probably a better pastor. So Eli is third in line, and I'm second in line after Robbie. I'm just going to confuse you a little bit. So my family, Robbie is the oldest. These are my dad's kids. Robbie, me, little sister Micah, Matt and Mark, who are twins. So this is Eli, who's Robbie's third born. I think I got that right. So Eli's currently in high school, which is hard to believe, but when he was about 4 years old, he and Grandpa Bob had been wrestling. Imagine that. They're playing a game called Ninja Warriors, which is basically like just Eli putting on a ninja costume and wrestling with Grandpa. That's the game, the whole game. So Eli and Grandpa Bob are wrestling. They're working up a sweat, right? And probably out of a concern for his own safety, Grandpa Bob calls time out on the game and asks Eli if he wants to go to Sonic to get something to drink. And of course, little 4-year-old Eli did. Now, here's the thing. I'm not exactly sure what drink Grandpa Bob ordered for little 4-year-old Eli, but I do know this, as the story goes, Grandpa Bob ordered it with an extra shot of caffeine, which is exactly what a 4-year-old needs, right? They need that. So what happens with Grandpa stays with Grandpa. And the drink comes out. Little Eli takes his drink of whatever he ordered, and he immediately belts out, "Too spicy!" Apparently the carbonation and the extra caffeine shot was bitter to his little taste buds. It was not at all drinkable to him. What a disappointment, Grandpa. Now, Pastor Bob might tell you that story if he were preaching today, but he's not preaching today, so you're not going to hear that story. What you're going to hear me tell you is that the people of Israel, with Moses leading them, had journeyed out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they're on their way to the land of milk and honey to get to their destination. They had to cross through a desert known as the Desert of Shur. We read that in our passage. Shur actually means wall. That's what it means. And that felt exactly like what they had hit. It felt like they'd hit a wall. The people were tired. They were hot, Tom. They had to have they had to have been ridiculously thirsty when they arrived at Marah. They could have used a Sonic drink, but nope, too spicy. The water was bitter. Have you ever accidentally taken a drink of salt water? That's what it was, salt water. What a disappointment. Out of sight and out of mind was the memory of their miraculous rescue from the most powerful army on earth. Gone from their mind was their deliverance from 400 years of slavery and the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. You know, all of us suffer from short-term and selective memory from time to time, don't we? So we can kind of relate to the Israelites here. The people of God have hit a wall. What will they do? What do you do when you've hit a wall? What they chose to do was grumble. They chose to complain and to blame. They turned against Moses. They made him their scapegoat, didn't they? In his commentary on the book of Exodus, Dr. Leo Cox writes this. He says, leadership is costly because the blame for adversity falls on leaders. These people knew Moses was God's man. Thus, their sin was also against God. Great experiences do not necessarily cure the evil heart of complaining. All of us hit walls in life, don't we? For example, we grieve. We lose loved ones, sometimes unexpectedly, in what feels like the most unfair of circumstances. We doubt. We wonder if God is really there, and where God is in the midst of our pain. We fail. We make decisions that don't represent the best versions of ourselves. We fall into despair, wondering how we ever got here and if it will always be like this. We get discouraged. We feel sad. Some of our experiences come with a bitter taste, don't they? Sometimes it happens because we make bad choices. Sometimes it happens because other people made bad choices that adversely affect us. Sometimes the enemy of souls, the devil, is involved. And sometimes it's super difficult just to make any sense as to why the bitterness-inducing experience has come our way. But trouble comes, doesn't it? You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I think you are in this. We always kind of tend to be surprised when trouble comes, don't we? But you know, really, we probably shouldn't be. I think it's natural to be, but we really shouldn't be. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus was crystal clear, wasn't he? In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. The same Jesus who said these words was there when God spoke to Moses at the bitter waters of Meribah. He was there when the bitter water was made sweet and drinkable again. And he was there when Lazarus died and was raised back to life, turning Mary and Martha's bitterness into joy. He was there when Thomas doubted and was given proof that God always keeps his word and that he can be trusted. He was there when Peter failed and was reinstated and recommissioned, and out of his failure would rise the church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. He was there when David sinned, and when David confessed his sin and found the God who forgives. He has always been there when his people have lost hope. He has always been there when his people have been discouraged. And he was there when the bitter water of Marah was made good. The people of God were taught an important lesson at Marah that day. And the lesson is this, that God is the source of our help and our hope. Human leaders are not the source of our help. The government is not the source of our help. God is the one who takes care of you. God is the one who takes care of me. God is the one who takes care of us. God is our God, and we are the people of God. God is the one who lives, who proves, who reinstates, who forgives, who hears, who sees, and who heals. Our part is to trust God, to obey God, and to follow Him only. God asks us to cooperate with Him, to listen to Him, to be faithful to Him, to do what He asks. And as we do that, God offers us help and hope and healing. And we see this in verse 26 of our passage, if you still have your Bible open or your phone open. Says this, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That line, that's worthy of your highlighter. That's worthy of your underline in your Bible. I am the Lord who heals you. You know, the Lord led His people a few miles down the road to an oasis called Elim. Verse 27 tells us, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. God knew where this oasis was, but they did not, did they? Imagine what it must have been like when they saw this desert paradise. Must have been awesome. You know, following God won't always be easy, but it is always right. And every once in a while, God surprises us with some awesome stuff. You know, I'm reminded of the familiar words of Psalm 23. You probably know Psalm 23, whether you know it's Psalm 23 or not, you've heard these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. If Pastor Bob were preaching today, he would tell you that his trip to Sonic with Eli didn't end in bitterness. In true grandpa style, Pastor Bob ordered his grandson another drink. And this time, you know what he ordered him? He just ordered him a sweet slushy. When you're 4 years old, you can't really go wrong with a slushie, right? I mean, it's really good. In fact, when you're 45 years old, you can't really go wrong with a slushie, to be honest with you. You know, for me, the year 2024 was not my easiest year. And some of you would say the same thing. if you could look back on it, like, yeah, it was kind of a rough year. But here's what I'm learning at the beginning of 2025. God is a God who replaces bitter drinks with sweet slushies. In Jesus Christ, here's the truth of the gospel. Jesus is the sweet, living water of life. Let me go and invite the band to make their way up. We're going to close with one song. You remember what Jesus said to the thirsty, lost, broken Samaritan woman at the well in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, Jesus said, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Later in that same book, in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, he declares to a crowd, Jesus is talking to this crowd, and he says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. You know, maybe this morning, moment of honesty, maybe you find yourself near some bitter waters. If so, yeah, maybe it's time to trade in that bitterness for a sweet slushy. Now you're invited. You are invited. You are. Not just the church, not just the crowd, but you are invited to come to God today. To come to the God who heals you. To come to the God who sees you, who loves you. You're invited to come to Jesus, the living water. We're going to close with a great song. I want to invite you to stand with us as we sing this song together. After we do, we'll pronounce a blessing on you. But if you want to take a moment to pray, the altar's always open. You're welcome also to just stay right where you are and just pray this song to the Lord as we close our service together. Let's sing.
Presence living in me. desperate for you. And I'm lost without you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in the peace of the Lord to love God and to serve others. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.